Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. I could stop there because that alone would be enough for today. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. As I was putting this message together, you know, there's times that you get a formal message, a formal sermon. It was funny because not knowing what today was going to hold when I started the message prep last week, it was more like a chat. So this is going to be more like a chat. And if I had a stool, I'd come down there and sit and chat with you. This is a message that for me is not just a good word from the scripture. It's something that for me is personal. These verses in 4 through 7 have been ones that God has had to teach me, not just intellectually, but experientially. So today's chat is kind of a transparent chat, opening my heart to you. Let me begin, though, with an introduction. A few days before Jesus was crucified, he called his disciples aside and spent some time teaching them and prepping them. He was going to be leaving, and he wanted them to know some of the events that were going to be coming in the future. Persecution that they were going to face and how they were to deal with it. The fall of Jerusalem that was going to take place. And events related to the end of the age. Two of those verses related to the end of the age are recorded in Luke chapter 21. Jesus says this, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken." Jesus seems to imply that in the last days there's going to be the presence or the prevalence of anxiety and fear. The King James puts it, men's hearts failing them for fear. If you ask mental health professionals, they will tell you that the number one mental illness or mental health condition they deal with is anxiety. 40 million American adults, 18 and up, struggle with anxiety, according to the statistics. That's 18% of the American population adults, 1 in 5, struggle with anxiety. It costs $42 billion a year to deal with this, almost a third of the mental health budget. Certainly, anxiety and fear is an issue, not just in the formal sense, but people struggle with worry. Maybe it doesn't reach the level of an anxiety disorder, but worrying, fretting, overly concerned, anxiety. When we see that and compare it and actually contrast it with what the Word of God says, we say, wait a minute, there's an issue here. Because listen to what Isaiah 26 says. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. The words perfect peace in the Hebrew are shalom, shalom. Two shaloms, not just one shalom, but shalom, shalom. Peace perfected. That God's desire is that his servants would know perfect peace. Over in our text in Philippians 4, Paul echoes this when he says, don't be anxious about anything. Verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I mentioned that this message is one that really resonates with me. Some of you know my story. My first anxiety attack, panic attack, occurred when I was 8 years of age. Our neighbor's daughter was watching us. My parents were out. I think it was a Thursday night. And for some reason, as an 8-year-old kid, the thought of eternity popped into my head. You might ask, what on earth is the thought of eternity popping into an 8-year-old kid's head? I have no idea, but it did. And it shook me up because I couldn't grasp eternity. I tried to grasp what time forever was, forward, and then I tried to go backwards to God and what was before God. I worked myself into such a tizzy, I started throwing up. Our neighbor's daughter went over and got her mother, who happened to be our Sunday school superintendent at the time, and she came over to try to calm me down. It passed, and I went on with life. Didn't think too much about it. But 9 years later, September 9th, 1978, I entered into a tunnel, a challenging time in my life where I struggled with anxiety and panic. All the symptoms of a classic panic attack were mine. And off and on, I struggled with panic for 21 years. The hair on the back of my neck going up, the racing heart, the shallow breathing, the feeling like I was coming outside of my body, all of the stuff that you get. Those were some of the most challenging times that I ever went through in my life. And so when I read these verses and I see what I go through, I say, wait a minute, there's a struggle here. What's going on? Because of my experience, I ended up doing a lot of research about anxiety. I began to understand the multidimensional nature of anxiety, the physical components involved with it. Began to understand that sometimes your body's chemistry can get off. The endorphins in the brain can drop, leading to anxiety. You could have your endocrine system get messed up and adrenaline kicking into your system. That, you know, a lot of different things can cause it. But as I walked through that experience with God and watched God now on this side looking back, I watched God deepen my soul through those times and teach me some truths that are found here in Philippians 4. Now, I'm not here saying that all anxiety is, you know, spiritual or emotional, but what I learned in my own experience, there was some spiritual and emotional components to it, some mental components to it, that it wasn't just about needing med or not med. I remember going to doctors, trying to find out what was wrong, and they kept saying, you're healthy as an ox. I remember going to my pastor, he said, just praise the Lord more. And I got all those little, and then the best were, it's all in your head, snap out of it. If I could, I would. The problem is I know what it was like to go through and get a lot of pat answers. And I also know what it's like to go through and find God's answers. So if you struggle with worry, if you struggle with anxiety, if you struggle with fear, God has a word for you today. And although we may not have the whole congregation here, it's going to be on the internet and people can access it. But I want to share with you some things that God had to teach me from his word about myself, about him, about our world. So let me begin first with this. When we view our life through the lens of faith, anxiety decreases. When we view our life through the lens of faith, anxiety decreases. Look what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. When I was going through the challenge in my senior year of high school, I was desperate. And as I said, I went to my pastor and he said, just praise the Lord more. And so I thought, okay. So I kept saying, praise the Lord, 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 thank you God, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, thank you. I played Christian music. Our God is an awesome God, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I wasn't obeying the scripture. The scripture says, rejoice in the Lord. What I was doing was simply saying statements, like incantations, superstitious words, trying to get rid of the fear. I wasn't rejoicing in the Lord. I was trying to use him to not feel what I was feeling. And at the heart of the matter for me was, I didn't trust God with my health. When Paul wrote these words, rejoice in the Lord always, Paul was not sunning himself at a Mediterranean beach, sipping a virgin pina colada. Paul was imprisoned. He didn't know if he was going to die or live. And yet he says, rejoice in the Lord. And that's because Paul had learned the secret that God was in charge of everything. And that no matter what he faced, no matter what challenge he faced, God had already given permission for it to be allowed in Paul's life to make Paul look more like Jesus and for the gospel of Jesus Christ to spread and the kingdom to be enlarged and God to be glorified. Paul was in prison. He could be all bummed out. He said, this is really cool. I get to share the gospel with Caesar's household. That wouldn't have been the first thing on my mind. But Paul's like, just another chance. How do you defeat somebody with fear when it doesn't matter what you face, you cannot lose. The reason Paul had such faith and such encouragement is he had walked with the Lord enough to know that God was in charge. For me, intellectually, I knew God was sovereign. I could sing the songs, He is Lord, but in the core of my being, I was afraid to trust Him with my health. And the reason? I was afraid He was going to let me down. I was afraid He was going to let me have a nervous breakdown. When the anxiety got so bad, it felt like I was going crazy. And if you've ever had a full-blown panic attack, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you can only guess. That horrifying feeling like I'm going to lose control. And so for me, it was, I have to hold on. With all that I have, I have to hold on to sanity. And I was afraid. And so for 15 years, from 1978 to 1993, I did everything I could to hold on to my sanity. I did everything I could to hold on to my sanity. Until September 20th, 1993, I was too tired to try anymore. On September 20th, 1993, and an afternoon evening over at the old building, downstairs we had a couch, and I went downstairs and I just knelt before the Lord. And the Lord says, you don't trust me with your health. It came with such clarity. It came with such power. And it came with such love. And I said, you're right. I don't. But I don't want to live like this anymore. I said, Father, I'm going to choose to believe that if I break down, you will be on the other side of the breakdown. And the moment I did that, fear broke in my heart. It broke. It didn't mean that automatically I felt well, but the fear broke. And then it was a few years later after that where I walked back into one of those seasons, what turned out to be adrenal fatigue. And although my body had the physical, I was no longer afraid. And what the Lord showed me is, see, I broke it. And then God supernaturally healed me in 2001 of adrenal fatigue and hypoglycemia, and I was restored. But it was in that experience that I'd learned something, that to rejoice in the Lord is not just mouthing words. It's not just singing songs. It is a faith venture. It is a faith step that says, I choose to believe God is going to work this out. And that's why there is no fear or the anxiety decreases, because it doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who's attacking. It doesn't matter who gets elected or appointed to the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter if the economy tanks. Why? Because God is God. It doesn't matter what happens to this world, because the Lord ultimately has you in the palm of His hand. And no one can snatch you out. Paul knew that in all things, God works together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Paul knew if God was for him, who could be against him? Paul knew that Jesus ever lived to make intercession for him at the right hand of the Father. Paul knew that nothing in all of creation could separate him from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul knew he was more than a conqueror through Him who loved him. Paul knew God, and because of that, Paul could face the future with confidence. He was not afraid. Much of our anxiety rests because we're afraid of what if. But for those who are in Christ, there is no need to worry about what if, because God is. And that's what lessens the anxiety. Some of you are going through challenging times. I think of Diane taking care of your mom. That's a challenge. When we say that there's no anxiety in Christ, that doesn't mean there's no challenges we face. But what it says is, Diane, you're not facing that by yourself. There is a God who loves you. Valentine's Day is all about love, but there is no greater love than this, than the love Father showed us by allowing His Son to die in our place. And that same Savior who loved you enough to die on the cross is the same Savior who watches you sob and cry and get frustrated as you try to take care of your mom. And Sammy, it's the same God who's brought you back, the same God who's walked with you through all of those. And you and I know, because we walk through those things together. But God is going to redeem those things that you've been through. They're not going to be wasted, because in God, no experience gets wasted. No experience, because God is able to redeem everything. And that's why you can rejoice in the Lord, because your past can't rob you of your future. Your future can't rob you of your future, and your present can't. God's got you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I must be getting going. I'm spitting. At least it's not icicles coming out. I had to learn this. That's why people say to me, Pastor Ray, when you walk into a room, there's almost this sense of peace that we just know it's going to be okay. That's not because Pastor Ray walked in the room. It's because Jesus Christ in Pastor Ray walked into the room. And it makes a difference when you are a carrier of the presence of God. When you're anxious, your body knows it. When you're afraid of the future, see, God designed your adrenaline system. It's a beautiful emergency system. When you're facing a horrific thing, to be able to kick in the adrenaline and have superhuman strength for a time is wonderful. That gets you through the crisis. Thank God for it. The problem is when all of life is your crisis, and your adrenaline is going all the time, and you're helping it by caffeinating it and energy drinking it and zipping your body around. And then you're shocked that your body wears out. Don't need that. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of the future. I can't tell you what you're going to face. I don't know what crisis you're going to face. I don't know what injury or illness or challenge or difficulty the Church of Jesus Christ is going to face. But I know this, no matter what it is, God will carry you through. His presence. When you are adrenalizing, I have to believe this because I smell it. I know it sounds funny. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. I smell fear when people are afraid. I smell anxiety. I smell fear. There must be some kind of chemical thing that I'm just alert to. But when there's peace, God's peace, His supernatural, mind-transcending peace, something happens. It just brings calm into the room. I felt that with my pastor growing up. His name was Elmer Bartholomew. He came for our 25th anniversary. When he was behind this pulpit, not this one, but his pulpit, you just knew God was in charge. Not him, God was in charge. And I pray, particularly in a time and age where men's hearts are failing them for fear, the Church of Jesus Christ can be different. If we're fretting and worrying and panicking like everybody else, then what are we offering them? Now, I'm not saying we go to the other extreme and get weird. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, don't be stupid. Just be a carrier of His presence. People will know there's something different about you. And you're going to be able to share the hope that is within you. How can you have such peace when everything is? Because I know God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Second lesson I learned is this. When we view our relationships in light of the return of Christ, anxiety decreases. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The word gentleness that's translated gentleness is a very difficult word to translate. You know, when you try to go from one language to another, sometimes one word to another works great, but sometimes it's not enough. The word gets translated gentleness, it gets moderation, there's several others. It's basically the idea that when you're confronted with people, you don't react. When you're confronted with people, there's a graciousness about you. There is a power under control. You don't use your power to react against them. But there's a healthy, and the reason you can do that, according to Paul, is the Lord is near. What he wants us to understand is this. No matter what persecution you and I might face, or maybe even less than that, just relationships in general, God will ultimately right every wrong. So they may persecute us, and we're seeing challenges, even in America, you know, where the Judeo-Christian value system that was so strong is being pushed and marginalized. first to the church and then eventually to be removed, and the church will have to go underground. But Paul's not getting all bent out of shape about that. Paul just keeps bearing witness to Christ because he knows something. Jesus is coming back. Now, let me enlarge my application on this point in this way. One of the things that I found in my own life is that much of my anxiety rested with the fact I was afraid of people's reactions towards me. I was afraid that people were going to get mad at me. They were going to yell at me. I didn't realize until God took me through a healing experience that much of that was because of what I experienced with my pop and his anger outbursts. And God had to heal that. But one of the things I learned is that if I felt there's a possibility of disapproval, I would become anxious. Anyone else like that? Where you're afraid that they might yell or they might disappoint them, you might be rejected by them, you might be punished by them. In relationships, we can become anxious inside. You see it sometimes with people that are dating, you know, or someone they may want to date. They're like, I wonder if she'll like me. I wonder if he'll like me. And all this anxiety inside. A lot of anxiety does come not just from fear of the future, which is the first point, but a lot of anxiety comes because of our relationships with one another. Or how about someone ticks you off in the church? So you get mad at somebody. How much anger and frustration is going on inside you? You feel it? Yeah, by your body language, you're telling me, yes, I hear you. I'm not going to say it out loud because then it'll be obvious I'm saying it, but you're shouting with your body language, you're telling me. And what I had to learn, is, for me at least, and I've shared this, but it's still worth repeating, is, you know, years ago, when we had, there were people that would be come to our church, and for some reason, they would trigger this response to me. Not everybody getting mad at me would bother me. Sometimes I go, it's your problem. But for some reason, there were certain people that had the capacity to trigger the knot in the stomach and the fear response in me, okay? And when they did that, my thought was, is if you would just leave the church, we'll be good. Because you're making me feel bad, and it's your fault. Go. And it was weird because they didn't go, they multiplied. And I couldn't figure that out. So it must be the devil. Devil sending them to our church, these rotten people. Lord, I rebuke that devil. Just get him out of here, Lord. And they didn't go away. They kept coming. Now, I must be slow or stubborn or maybe a combination of both. But I kept wanting them to go away. And I kept thinking if I could just control the fear, if I could just not be afraid. But my body kept remembering something that my head wasn't. And what was happening is God was trying to reveal the source of anxiety that I had towards people. And I thought the problem was them. The problem was the anxiety in me that they were triggering, but I wanted to blame them because it was a whole lot easier to blame them than to deal with my own stuff. Do I hear an amen from a few folks? So finally, by the sixth or seventh person triggering the same response, it dawned on me. Ray has a problem with so-and-so. Ray has a problem with so-and-so. Ray has a problem with so-and-so. Ray, I'm thinking there's a connection here. It's Ray. And that's when God sovereignly touched and broke that fear in January of 2006. And in a 15-minute intensive with the Holy Spirit, God rewrote truth in my heart, and he did what I could not do. See, I was trying to control the symptoms. I was trying not to feel anxious. It's the same thing about the future. I was trying not to be afraid of my future, but I was trying to hold on to not be afraid. Do you see what's going wrong here? I'm trying. What happened is that God had to step in and do stuff that I couldn't do. Me telling you, well, don't be anxious. Thanks so much, Pastor Ray. Good word. If I could, I would. See, we need more than just words. We need God to step in and do what he can do. Jesus came to set captives free. Jesus came to preach release for prisoners. And I'm telling you, when you are bound by anxiety and worry and fear, you are a prisoner. It's as bad as if you're in a prison cell and you're shaking those doors and you can't get out. And no matter how hard you try, you do all you can do is try not to feel the feelings. But the problem is that doesn't make them go away. You need a touch of the Almighty God that will set you free. And He can and He does. And I'm here to preach it to you. Anxiety-free living is not just a pipe dream. It's a possibility in Jesus Christ because He came to set captives free. And when I began to learn what was going on in me, my problem was is that I had been traumatized as a kid by my dad's anger. And when my dad would reach for his belt in fear, it triggered a little response in this little kid that changed my brain chemistry and affected my body so that in that moment, my brain took a snapshot of that moment and feeling and locked it and fused it together and buried it deep within my heart. So every time my brain remembered, my unconscious remembered that experience, my body remembered, even if my brain front here couldn't remember it. I was remembering, my body was remembering, even if I consciously wasn't remembering. You might go, whoa, that's too deep. Let me try it another way. Your body remembers experiences you had, even if you cannot remember. Knots in the stomach, tightened muscles, when facing certain people, what's happening is they are triggering reactions in you that you no longer are connected with. And when we feel those, we want to blame the one who's causing it, instead of letting God use that to reveal the area of brokenness that His Spirit wants to heal. God wants you free. He doesn't want you to fear any man. He only wants you to fear Him and revere Him. And as long as you and I walk in fear, we'll never walk in faith. So God wants to break that in us. And when we realize that God is in charge, God is coming back, God's going to right every wrong, then let God step in, because I can testify that God can heal you. I am a living proof God can heal you. It's been 17 years since God, actually 93 is when he did that, but since I had my last panic attack was 1999. 17 years, God has touched me. 17 years. Why? Simply because He could. It wasn't because I earned it. It wasn't because I deserved it. It's God had mercy. Some of you have been bound with anxiety most of your life, and you don't make it through a day without some anxious thought. It's robbing you. It's robbing you of God's presence and God's peace. It's robbing you of God's dreams for the future. You're so trying to hold on that you're missing out on what God has. Hear the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is at hand. And finally, when we give God our burdens that we were never meant to carry, anxiety decreases. When we give God our burdens that we were never meant to carry, anxiety decreases. Paul says in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Jesus told his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, why are you worrying about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear? Your Father knows what you need. Seek first His kingdom. The lesson I had to learn here on this third point, and this is one that I'm still learning. The first two, He's got me through on those. This one I'm still learning. And that's this. We often carry burdens that He never intended for us to carry. And when we carry burdens that we're not supposed to carry, they weigh us down. They can produce anxiety. Maybe not outright fear, but they can produce anxiety. What I was growing up, I've shared this before, and my mom will appreciate this. I grew up in a home where my dad challenged us to very, very, very high standards. If I got a 95, 96, hey, how come you didn't get 97, 98? The mantra in our home was, you're a Richards. You're one cut above the rest. The mantra is, strive for the stars. Even if you don't reach them, you'll be better than everybody else. That's the image I grew up with. And watching my dad when I didn't do that, that sense of disappointment that his face had, killed me. And so I learned two things there. One, don't ever fail. And two, I learned to be addicted to success. Fear of failure became a driving motivation. The absolute terror, even though I was having panic attacks, the fear of failure was greater than the panic attack, so I would still drive myself. And I liked being number one. I enjoyed the accolades. I enjoyed the success that went with it. I enjoyed walking into a classroom and having the class go, oops, here comes the curve breaker. I liked being number one Bible quizzer in the Northeast United States. It fed the ego. But you know the scary part underneath that ego was an insecurity. Because as much as you succeed, there's always the fear, what if the day comes you don't? And so I would drive myself. Human beings have boundaries. And because I wasn't willing to accept I had them, I kept driving myself. Did I achieve a lot? You better believe it. I got more medals and awards and certificates and trophies than you can imagine. But every one gave me a temporary happiness only to start the cycle again, to drive myself again. And because I kept driving myself and driving myself and driving myself, by the time I got my junior year of high school, I was involved with the Senate, the school Senate and caucus. I was in the play. I was doing choir, jazz choir, band, orchestra. I was doing fine arts, Bible quiz. I was running track, indoor track, cross country. About 18, 20 different activities in school. September 4th, 1978, I ran a marathon. September 5th, I started cross country practice. September 6th, I started my senior year of high school. September 9th, my body crashed. What I didn't know at the time is that I had developed adrenal fatigue. Back then, it wasn't really popular, not really understood. For 5 years, I lived with it, not knowing what was going on until I happened to have somebody mention to me the possibility. I went and was tested, and I almost passed out in the test. They said, well, you got a real problem here. I'm like, thank you. What do I do with it? Well, I really don't know. And I paid you for what? It was just, there wasn't a whole lot back there. But that's when I learned a lot about boundaries, and I learned a lot about pacing. And even though I don't have it down, I thank God that I'm more willing now to rest and take time to recharge. But what I learned through all that is that fear of failure combined with that addiction to success made me carry burdens he never made me to carry. There will never be enough time for you to do everything that you want to do in life. But there will always be enough time for you to do what God wants you to do in life. It's taken me a lot of years to learn that. When I was younger, I felt there was nothing I couldn't do. I could memorize quickly. I could do stuff with my head that it felt like most people couldn't. But as I got older, and then what was interesting, the adrenal fatigue, the one thing that attacked more than anything else was my brain. Because when I had one of those crashes, I couldn't think. Part of that was because God was bringing me into the dust to become a nothing so I would learn something. It ain't about you, Ray. It's about Jesus. And I hope that I'm learning more and more it's about Jesus, because I'm watching that as I do counseling over the last 5 to 7 years, I don't have to fix anybody. There was a time that my worth was dependent upon making you better. Now I don't. Jesus makes you better. I get to labor with him, but Jesus makes you. I guess what I'm saying is it really comes down to this. Anxiety-free living is God's fruit from faith's root. Everything flows from my relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything flows from my relationship with Jesus Christ. I am thankful that God in his mercy has allowed me at 54 to know some of the things I know now. My dad died at 87 years, 86 years of age. He would have been 87. He never got this. If God in his grace has allowed me to get it in my 40s and 50s, then my kids have a shot to get it even younger. And if I, as your pastor, can share this with you, they say the spirit of the pastor becomes the spirit of the people. If I created neurotic people, forgive me. But I want you to know, and again, I'm chatting with you today. I want you to know anxiety-free living is possible. God does touch. But what I had to learn is I had to get to the place where I had to stop on my own. And because of who I am, I had to go to the very bitter end. You know, I'm like Jacob. I had to wrestle all night. Much easier to say, okay, I quit. I give. I just want to encourage you in that, to take a step of faith. Lord, I'm going to count it pure joy. I'm going to count it pure joy when I'm facing these trials. I'm going to believe by faith. And I pray that if there's anything in me that is keeping me from trusting you, anything that happened in my life that created such a trauma that makes me afraid to trust you, in Jesus' name, would you do what I cannot do and heal that wound, heal that trauma so that faith rises in my heart. And if you're having struggles with relationships because you're afraid of rejection, afraid of punishment, let God show you what might have stirred that and started that, and let him bring healing in that so you could have the full range of emotion that he wanted you to have healthy, so that you're no longer afraid of people. And finally, when it comes to failure, when it comes to boundaries, that you begin to learn that these bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that God created them for rest and good food and healthy living and stuff, and that when we don't, often it's because we're pushing past boundaries that we're supposed to not push past, and we're carrying burdens we're not supposed to carry. I know it seems simple to say, harder to work, but I truly believe that God wants his people to live anxiety-free, because his word says that when we rejoice in the Lord, when we let gentleness be evident to all, when we aren't anxious about anything but instead prayer, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You will be a carrier of the peace and presence of Christ.